been on a we spent months talking about his goodness, and last few weeks we've been right looking at that thing of like, why did he come, right? Why Jesus, right? And we get to the point of salvation, and you have to be honest and ask, saved from what, right? And you get all sorts of different answers, but the absolute best, we rolled it all up, is he saved you to live, right? The Bible calls it eternal life, and we're learning to reframe our understanding of what is eternal life, because it's not just sitting here biding our time until something happens and he comes, right? Eternal life is right now, right? The Bible calls it Zoe life. It's a holistic term. Right? That's body, mind, and soul. It's what we prayed for. It's these things right here. Right? John 10:10 says he came that you would have life. And how?
Abundant
life, right? So that's like a ridiculous thought to sit here and get your head around. And Dee was sharing, we've been enjoying sharing these things with people, right? Workmates, exercise partners, people in environments that don't have a grid for your Jesus, that don't have can't get their head around the goodness of God, right? And so you begin to share these things with them, especially and just as much the church people, right? Who don't have a grid for the fullness of eternal life, really. All they know is it's something out there. They haven't learned the part of it here. And I don't say that negative. It's an issue of just revelation of the Lord. Right? And Dee was sharing with an office mate, partner, about some teachings on this, a Christian man, and he struggled around the word. The word was supernatural. All right? The word was supernatural. When I say that word, it has a response in people. Some people, it draws up some kind of like... it sounds like magic, right? It sounds a little maybe Eastern-ish religious, right? And Justin and Kelly went off to BSSM in Reading. Bethel School of... okay, but I forgot you walked in. I forgot you walked in. Right? Bethel School of what? Supernatural ministry. Right? And so when I was challenged by that word, because if I was to tell my brothers, hey, my son, your nephew is at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, you feared an intervention, right? That their good, you know, Baptist-born brother was like somehow like cuckoo now, that somehow he's like gone in a crazy land, and he's embracing things, and so... It's interesting. We've got this thought about this word supernatural, and the more you read your Bible and the more you come to terms with eternal life, the only way to get your head around it is it's a supernatural word, right? So can I read something? I have been digging the Passion Translation, right? Passion Translation, if you ever get a chance to hear Brian Simmons speak, run to the door to go hear him.
To him.
Yeah, no, don't run away. Go. Do everything you can to get there. It'll put you on your face. He's so fun to listen to. His name is Brian Simmons, and he was the guy who has been spearheading a translation of the Bible called the Passion Translation. And I think it's just as powerful as the Mirror Bible by Francois Dutoit. And so feel comfortable getting these, by the way. Just get them and enjoy what God's saying fresh in his word. But can I read you out of Ephesians chapter 3 what the Passion Translation says? So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power.
That's in the Bible.
I'm going to read that. I'm going to read that again. I pray he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power.
Yes.
Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God.
Wow.
Come on! Wow, you were made to be supernatural.
And if you think about it, those that don't even know the Lord, those in the world, are hungry.
Right.
You see all these movies, right, that are coming from the secular Bibles like DC Comics and Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and they're all about what?
Super.
Superheroes.
That's why the witchcraft is so
Oh my gosh, I just, I love that. And I want to share one verse with you this morning. It'll be a short message. And it's out of that Ephesians 3 that I just read you, right? Ephesians 3:20, and I just want to because I was thinking again, what does it mean to live? What does it mean to outline? What does it mean to be supernatural, right? Part of our journey here together is we're learning to embrace that. We're learning to say okay to supernatural. We're learning to say okay to the fullness of him within me. We're learning to say okay to being love bombs, right? We're learning to say okay. That's who I am. That's what I'm made for. And the struggle is waking up to it. The struggle is embracing it and walking in it, right? So one verse, Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to read it out of the Living Translation because it's one you're probably most familiar with. It says this. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work in us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Okay? I look at that one verse, and I got lots of things that popped out at me. I want to share them with you. Right? The first one is this, because I think it's a great place to start. All glory to God. Right? Do you remember a couple weeks ago we talked about glory? We talked about you being made for glory. We talked about you
right.
being this glory bomb, this glory presence, right, everywhere you go, right? What is glory? Glory is that substance that's pointing to the Father. Glory is that thing that's revealing the Father. Glory is that thing that is releasing the attributes of the Father. That's why, right? That's why when Jesus came, we said he had a glory about him because his whole mission was to point you to the Father, to show you who he is and how he is and what he's like, right? That's why we can look at things like mountains and skies and galaxies and go, glory, right? Because it's pointing to the Creator, right? And the funnest part is, he says, you have it. You have glory. He talks about you going from glory to glory.
Yeah.
Right? And what's he saying? That you, as you walk in this journey of this revelation of this deep love of him inside of you, what are you doing? I'm revealing more of him.
Right.
I'm pointing people to the Father. The attributes of me are his attributes, right? Do you
right.
see it?
Yep.
Right? That's why Revelations 4, it says this, our Lord and God, you deserve to receive glory and honor and power because you created everything. Everything came into existence and was created because your will. He's talking about you. All of you to him. All glory to him. He's talking about you. What does that look like? Right? Let's go on in the verse. Now all glory to God, who's able. He's able. It's like, and most of our understandings of him stop at this thing of he's able. Which is basically, it says, he's capable, he's strong, he has the power to do something. Right? And we all say that. God can.
Right.
God can. Right? Romans 4:21 says this, I am convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. He can. In engineering, I studied two kinds of things in physics. One had to do called potential energy and kinetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ever heard those terms?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in one of your classes. Yeah. Potential energy, it's like there is this within me, relative to all of you, there is this ability to exert power and influence on the things around me, right? It's like the gas is in the car, but it's in a driveway. There's potential,
right?
There's potential
yeah.
in that engine for it to go ba-boom, right?
Yeah.
Potential energy. God's able, right? But it also says this. God is able through his mighty power. Kinetic energy. So not only does he have the resource and the power and the answer to respond to your conflict, he will. All right? So there's gas in the car, potential energy, and I could put a key in it and I could stomp on the accelerator, kinetic energy. Right? Do you see what I've just done? There's a resource and he takes it and he does something with it. God's able through his power, right, to release it. It says this in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power.
Right. Yeah.
Potential energy and kinetic energy. He's able to do it. He has the substance to do it. All of heaven's backing him up, and he does it. Right? That's the third thing I see in that verse. All glory to God, who's able, through his mighty power. This one's fun. At work in us. What just happened? He's able.
Right.
He's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
My potential energy
yeah.
and my kinetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
I just gave to you. Mm-hmm. Right? So now, what did he give me? His ability?
Yes.
And his power, right? I can and I will, right?
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:19 says it this way. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power. God is able through his power in us. He goes on to say this. He says, to accomplish. Stop right there. Definition 101. What's it mean to accomplish?
Get her done.
Get her done. It's like I'm going to move something. I'm going to change something. To accomplish something, do you see there's nothing inherent in that says, and you will fail?
No, it's a completeness.
Right.
It doesn't say fail. Wait a minute. How about, does it say defeated? Literally, when you look at the word accomplished, as they wrote it in Scripture, it means to put forth power. To put into effect. It means to bring aid. Right? 2 Thessalonians says it this way about our accomplishing things. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call, that he would give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. All of your glory is given to him because he's able and he is powerful and he's given it to you. So you would accomplish, you would complete, you would get her done, you would move the needle, you would bring effect, you would bring aid. Right? His mighty power at work in us to accomplish. But here's the other thing. To accomplish in... Anybody know what it says? To accomplish in...
Yes.
Right? And I think this is probably one of the biggest keys of the verse. Because we love to say, God will.
If it be His will.
God will do it.
Right.
God will do it. God will take care of that, Ron. But do you realize there's an inherent thing, there's an inherent activity that says, and I have to choose to say yes to what He's asked me to do. Pray for Ron. There's a yes, there's a decision on your part, right? He's given all of this, He's provided. He said, here you go. Now go move the needle, go get her done. And the person I'm entrusting to do it,
right.
You. And you, and you, and you. Right? There's a decision that says, and this is, and it's like, it's the pattern, it's the blueprint for the gospel, and it's never changed. You are the one, He says, go do this. Go do this. And one of the things I enjoy about being together in the home group is, it's easy, kind of in a church setting, when you've got the stage up here and the pulpit and the big pulpit, and the conclusion is He's the man. Do you know what I'm talking about? The conclusion is it's easy to see He's got the answers up there. He's the one who God's given the authority and the power to, and we distance ourselves from it, kind of no fault of our own, because we just see it that way. That's the pattern we see, right? So what we're learning here is like, look, these are the things He's given to you and you and you and you. It's a very individual, it's a decision we make. Say, okay, I'm saying yes to this, right? We're saying yes to it.
No one is disqualified.
What's that?
No one is disqualified.
No one's disqualified. And everyone has everything. That's the part
we kind of don't get.
Everybody has everything.
Right.
Now, we may be sloppy, and we may not have learned how to use our tools, so to speak. And some of you are artisans. You've been doing it for a long time.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Hey, if I want to get prayed for healing, guess who I'm going to? I'm going to Adolf. But here's what I want. I want to learn how to pray like that. I want to learn what he has, I want. So I hang out with him. Right? True. Right? Here, let's finish the verse. Right? That's the sixth thing I saw there. More than we might ask or think. All glory to God, who is able, through His power, at work in us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. This is the part that's the unbelievable. This makes no sense in Scripture. That God just said, you get to go do more than I do.
Yeah.
God did not say, I healed 7 blind people and 2 lame people, so you can do that, but not more than me. In fact, someone would tell you, there's not cancer in the Bible, so be careful, you're stretching. No, God told us to go do more, to go beyond what He did. He introduced us to how to respond to life, and life's going to throw curves. And it's going to throw unknowns, and it's going to put things in front of you that we've never seen before. And He said, don't worry. You know what to do with this. Right? That He has literally asked us to do more than Jesus demonstrated for us. He's asked us to do more. Right? So, and Scripture makes it really clear. Go do more. In fact, you've got to get your shackles off your head, because it's going to blow your mind. You're going to see things you've never seen before. So you're going to have to pray outside of this mind that says He can only do this. Right? I was hearing a testimony by a guy named David Hogan, and he's praying for bodies that were killed, mutilated by a machete. Limbs and things killed. God not only brought them back to life, but everything
wow.
put on. David Hogan. I can tell you more about, huh?
Was that the one where they pile them in the back of a big truck?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
South America, I think it was.
Mexico.
Anyway, was it Mexico? Yeah. And I'll close with this, right? So, here we go. God's, all of you guys, you're the glory people. All of you glory people are working for him. You're on assignment for heaven because his ability and his power has been given to you to go do great things because you said yes, because you're agreeing with what heaven says about you, and I'm going to go live this way beyond my wildest fantasy and dreams. By the way, the Bible calls that faith. Faith is just agreeing with, that's who I am.
Right.
I was made for this.
Yeah.
So my assignment is to live this way.
Yeah.
And just for really quick, Ian, it's another sermon another time, but when I don't do that, when I disagree with that assignment, the Bible calls it sin.
Right.
That's what sin is. How's that for simple? I'm just agreeing with my identity. When I disagree with my identity, sin.
Right.
Anyway, final verse. Colossians 4:5 says this. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Another translation says, redeeming the time. Right? To redeem something, right, means it's like that you're paying a price for something. It's almost like I gave you a coupon to go get a free hamburger at McDonald's, right? You're redeeming it. It pays for the price of the burger, right? You know what also means redeem? It means to recover the power of another person, right? Think of it this way. Somebody's been kidnapped, put in a cage. They're afraid. They're not in control. Can you see that they have no freedom? Right? The one going to free that person is restoring them back to that place of I'm in control. That place that says, you're not in a cage anymore, right? I'm giving them their power back.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Taking the one that's been the slave mentality, the prisoner mentality. Redeeming is, you're not a prisoner anymore, right? So we're on assignment. So that verse we did in Ephesians 3:20 today, we're on assignment, okay? And he tells us, conduct yourself with wisdom towards those that are outside. What's he saying? You believe this to be true about who you are, right? I know who Jesus is. I know Father. I know Papa. I know what he's done for me. I know who I am. I just heard everything he said in Ephesians 3:20 about my assignment, right? So he says, there are those out here who don't know that reality.
Right.
Two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of confusion and darkness that is all based on not knowing who they are. So he says, with your wisdom, know that they're here, confused and disoriented, and you're here. So use your time, make the most of it, to redeem them, to help them see that this is who they are, right? Our assignment is to, and it's part of our activity in helping them see who they are, is you're not supposed to be in pain. You're not supposed to be sick. Can I pray for you? That's a new thing. They don't have a grid for that, right? You're afraid. You're anxious. You're constantly stressed out. I'm depressed, right? We show this is what a grid of kingdom of peace looks like, right? Ultimately, what are we showing them? This is what eternal life is. The holistic life. When God says, I came that you would have this abundant life, right? Our assignment is to help them go from this place over here to understanding this life here. So just as your journey is glory to glory, right? More and more you're reflecting Him. We're helping them, making good use of our time, every opportunity we get, that they would know, they would begin to see their glory and move on that same path. Amen?
Yeah.
Right. I would just add to that, it's really all it is His kingdom at work is called love. That's it, right there.
That's what love is, yeah.
Loving your neighbor, bringing them into that place.
Paul said this to the Corinthian church. He said that in your bodies, that you would make the most of your time, that you would capitalize on the constant opportunities that are around you, that you would always show forth the power of Jesus. That was 2 Corinthians 4. Isn't that fun?
Where it's worth, Daniel, I think 4 times in the past 3 weeks our Bible is open to Ephesians. And we can read
1-3. That's cool.
Praise.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We feel there's a reason He keeps opening to that.
It's like, yeah, He wants to like us to get it.
Right. And you know what? Once we start to get it,
yeah,
that reality of why did He come and what's my job here?
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden, the rest of Scripture starts to wake up for us. Right? The gospel really is a simple message. It really, really is. It gets confused because we take love out of the picture.
Yeah.
But another message, another day. Father, we just say thank You. We thank You that You're showing us who we are in You. We thank You for the fullness of Christ in us. We thank You for the power of heaven working in us.
Yeah.
I pray this is the week where we make the most of our time. I pray this is the week where we have the encounter in the marketplace, at the bank, at Starbucks, in our neighborhood, where the glory of God comes and touches a friend. It touches them that they're hurting this week. So God, we say yes to us. We say yes to Christ in me. We say yes to Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.